Imagine if the choice between equity and debt financing could reshape your business strategy. Understanding capital structure is essential for making informed financial decisions. This chapter will explore the distinct advantages and risks associated with both methods. Get ready to uncover key insights into how these financial tools can influence growth and sustainability. In this lesson, you will learn to understand the scope and key components of capital structure, including its objectives and financial leverage. Next, you'll learn to calculate and interpret the cost of debt, preferred stock, and equity with real-world examples. Then identify factors and trends, like ESG and digitalization, that influence capital structure and the weighted average cost of capital. Finally, master the evaluation of common errors in capital structure decisions, applying strategies to optimize WACC and maximize firm value. Let's explore important capital structure patterns that reveal who finances and who claims. The first pattern combines equity and debentures, where owners fund residual risks while lenders provide contractual funds. In the second pattern, equity is mixed with preference shares, offering fixed dividends and priority for payouts. The third pattern integrates equity, preference shares, and debentures, establishing a hierarchy in claims during liquidation. Understanding these structures helps navigate financial implications effectively. This knowledge is essential for optimizing a company's financial strategy. Capital structure plays a pivotal role in determining a firm's financing options. A balanced mix of equity and debt not only drives choices but also influences risk and value creation. The optimal blend aims to minimize the weighted average cost of capital while maximizing the firm's value. Key costs associated with capital sources, such as debt and common equity, vary significantly and impact overall financial health. We'll also look at the weighted average cost of capital as a benchmark for investment decisions. Finally, we'll explore common analyst errors and the various factors that could sway our capital strategies. Understanding capital structure is key to grasping how businesses finance their operations. It encompasses the mix of liabilities and equity employed in that financing. The equity portion consists of owners' funds, which represent a residual claim on profits and assets. On the other hand, the debt portion involves borrowed funds, such as bank loans and bonds. To illustrate, consider a scenario with 20 billion rupees in equity and 80 billion rupees in debt. This yields an equity-to-debt ratio of 20% equity and 80% debt, indicating that higher debt levels signal a greater financial leverage in the company. Let's delve into the aims of capital structure, particularly focusing on equity versus debt. First, maximizing earnings per share, or EPS, is essential for equity holders. This involves selecting financing options that enhance per-share earnings while minimizing dilution. Next, we aim to enhance the overall firm value by choosing a capital structure that fosters growth and stability. Additionally, balancing risk-return trade-offs is crucial. This means using debt strategically for tax advantages while managing potential distress. Finally, aligning capital structure with business strategy and cash flows ensures that our leverage matches the company's risk profile and investment needs. Understanding capital structure is crucial for analyzing cash flows. All firm cash flows are divided into fixed obligations and residual income, shaped by the debt-equity mix. First, there are fixed obligations, which include mandatory outflows like interest and principal repayments to creditors. Next, we look at residual income. This is what remains after paying the fixed obligations and can be distributed as dividends or reinvested. Higher debt changes the landscape for creditors by increasing promised payments, making them more vigilant about default risks. For shareholders, more debt can amplify returns, but also heightens volatility and downside risk when performance lags.
To understand real-world capital structure, we start with the Modigliani and Miller, M&M proposition. In an idealized scenario without taxes or bankruptcy costs, the capital structure is deemed irrelevant. However, introducing taxes shows that the debt tax shield allows interest deductions,
effectively lowering the weighted average cost of capital. Transaction and issuance costs can sway decisions on timing and methods that influence financing. Additionally, the presence of information asymmetry means that managers often prefer internal funds over external financing. Lastly, the costs of bankruptcy and agency issues put a cap on how much debt a firm can optimally handle. Capital structure plays a crucial role in how companies manage their resources. The principle here is to balance cost, risk, and flexibility effectively. For instance, equity provides a cushion and flexibility, but it can lead to ownership dilution and higher expectations for returns. On the other hand, debt can offer a tax shield and discipline, but comes with fixed obligations that need careful management. Various companies exemplify these strategies. Tata Motors uses debt to fuel growth, while Infosys opts for a conservative, equity-heavy approach for stability. Understanding these dynamics can guide better financial decisions in practice. Capital structure objectives significantly influence a company's financial health. The first aim is value maximization, leading to higher net worth and steady dividends, as seen with HDFC. Next, cost minimization, or reducing the weighted average cost of capital, enhances project funding, exemplified by Infosys's low debt strategy. An increase in share price driven by stronger earnings per share is showcased by Reliance's strategic debt for growth. Enhanced credit worthiness leads to lower borrowing costs, demonstrated by Alkem's impressive IPO pricing. Lastly, facilitating investment opportunities allows companies like NTPC to fund vital green energy projects. The landscape of capital structure is evolving. One significant trend is the rise of ESG financing adoption, where issuers increasingly raise capital through green bonds and ESG-linked debentures. A notable example is Adani Green, which has successfully funded renewable energy projects using green bonds. Additionally, digital issuances are becoming more prevalent, with platforms like Zerodha and Grow simplifying access for retail investors to both equity and debt markets. Lastly, hybrid instruments such as convertible debentures and preference shares are gaining traction due to their ability to adjust dividends, catering to diverse investor preferences. Understanding the cost of capital is crucial for effective investment decisions. It serves as a benchmark for value creation, measuring the minimum return that investors require. We utilize the total cost or weighted average cost of capital to assess all financing sources collectively. It's important to rely on current market conditions for accurate estimates. This leads us to the accept-reject rule, where projects should only be pursued if their returns exceed the firm's cost of capital. For instance, a project with an 8% return would be rejected, while one yielding 12.5% would be accepted. To grasp the cost of debt, we first compute the annual coupon based on the face value and the stated rate. For instance, with a face value of 25,000 rupees at an 8% rate, this results in 2,000 rupees paid each year. Next, we amortize the bond discount evenly over the remaining years, adding this amount to the interest to reflect the total annual return to the holder. Here, the discount of 1,500 rupees is amortized at 300 rupees per year. Finally, we form the annual return numerator by adding the coupon and the amortized discount, capturing both cash and price accretion, which totals 2,300 rupees. Now let's delve deeper into our topic on the cost of debt. We start by using a blended denominator of market and face values, which is 60% market and 40% face, resulting in a total of 24,100. Next, we compute the pre-tax yield by dividing the annual return of 2,300 by this blended base, giving us a yield of approximately 9.54%. Applying the tax shield here is crucial. Since the interest is tax deductible, we calculate the after-tax cost of debt as 9.54% multiplied by 1 minus the tax rate. This gives us an after-tax cost of debt of about 6.68%, which you will use in your weighted average cost of capital calculations. As we explore the cost of preferred stock, it's essential to understand its definition. Preferred stock pays a constant annual dividend and does not have a maturity date. When calculating its cost, we adjust for flotation costs, using the market price, minus these costs as the denominator. Notably, preferred dividends are paid with after-tax income, meaning no tax effect applies. The formula to summarize this relationship indicates that the cost of preferred stock equals the annual dividend divided by net proceeds. Understanding this calculation is vital for assessing the investment's value. Identifying inputs in preferred stock involves specifying the currency per share, while keeping flotation costs separate from the price. Here we have an annual dividend of 12 rupees, a market price of 150 rupees, and flotation costs of 5 rupees. Next, we compute the net proceeds to the issuer, which results in an effective cash inflow of 145 rupees per share. The cost of preferred stock is calculated by dividing the dividend by the net proceeds, giving us approximately 8.28%. Finally, we confirm that no tax adjustment is needed, making this computed rate the effective cost for the issuer. To understand the cost of common equity for Bhargav Sugars Limited, we start with the raw dividend yield. The calculation shows a yield of 0.76%, which may appear low since it does not account for growth. However, Bhargav's dividends grow at approximately 9% each year, which is crucial for investors. By adding this growth rate to the yield, we find a required return of about 9.76%, aligning closely with market expectations. It's important to recognize that the dividend-to-price ratio captures current cash yield, while growth reflects the company's reinvestment potential. This duality helps us grasp the true cost of equity more accurately. Let's dive into a worked example featuring Bhargav Sugars Limited. First, we compute the naive dividend yield from the current figures, leading to a calculated yield of 0.76%. Next, we incorporate the expected dividend growth of 9%, reflecting anticipated capital gains. Then we estimate the cost of equity by adding the yield and growth, resulting in approximately 9.76%. This rate is often rounded to a practical 10%, simplifying our financial analysis. Recognizing these components enriches our understanding of the company's value and investor expectations. Estimating the cost of common equity is vital for effective financial decision-making. This process relies on key inputs, including the risk-free rate, beta, and the equity market premium minus the risk-free rate. The interpretation reveals that this cost reflects the time value of money and the market risk adjusted by the firm's beta. We utilize this estimation to compute the equity cost for the weighted average cost of capital and establish project hurdle rates. However, we must be cautious, as the underlying assumptions can often be violated in real markets. Understanding these nuances helps in making better investment choices. Let's dive into a worked example of the capital asset pricing model. First, we identify our inputs from the scenario. The risk-free rate is 9%, the expected market return is 15%, and the beta is 0.8. Next, we find the market risk premium by subtracting the risk-free rate from the market return, which equals 6%. We then scale this premium by beta, yielding a risk compensation of 4.8% for this equity. Finally, adding this to the risk-free rate gives us the required equity return of 13.8%. This return reflects the systematic risk associated with the investment. Understanding the ideal capital structure is crucial for any firm aiming to thrive. The core objective is to minimize overall cost of capital while preserving long-term stability and value. Achieving this involves targeting the lowest feasible weighted average cost of capital by balancing debt and equity judiciously. It's essential to keep obligations manageable to ensure financial stability and avoid distress. Moreover, enhancing shareholder value through improved earnings per share and market confidence is vital. Finally, preserving flexibility and creditworthiness allows adaptability in response to market changes. Let's explore the essential elements of capital structure, debt and equity. Debt is typically cheaper due to tax-deductible interest. In contrast, equity demands higher expected returns but has no mandatory repayments. While leverage increases financial distress risk, equity offers a cushion against this. Furthermore, debt comes with restrictive covenants, limiting flexibility, while equity enhances operational adaptability. Finally, interest on debt creates a tax shield, unlike dividends, which don't provide such benefits. Shobha Developers focused on four different capital structures to analyze their weighted average cost of capital. Plan A features 20% debt and 80% equity, yielding a WACC of 10.9%. Plan B has a higher debt ratio at 40% debt and 60% equity, resulting in a lower WACC of 10.5%. Plan C balances at 50% debt and 50% equity, with a WACC of 11.0%. Lastly, Plan D escalates debt to 60% and equity to 40%, causing the WACC to rise to 11.4%. This table illustrates how varying debt levels influence WACC and emphasizes the importance of capital structure decisions. To continue our discussion on capital structure, we now explore factors influencing the ideal mix of equity and debt. First, the cost of debt is often cheaper initially, yet it increases with leverage. For instance, Reliance strategically manages its debt to maintain strong credit ratings. Conversely, the cost of equity is higher, as seen in Infosys, which opts for equity to sidestep potential financial distress. Additionally, using debt can generate tax shields, though too much leverage can diminish these benefits. Industry norms also affect choices. While firms like L&T embrace higher debt, tech companies generally favor equity due to their revenue volatility. Lastly, prevailing market conditions can guide decisions, as low interest rates often make debt more appealing, whereas strong equity markets prompt attractive share issuances. As we delve into modern trends influencing capital structure, let's consider some captivating developments. First, hybrid instruments like convertible non-convertible debentures allow companies to raise funds while keeping future equity upside open. Next, the rise of sustainability-focused green bonds demonstrates how companies like Adani Green Energy align their financing with environmental and social governance goals. Additionally, digital platforms such as BSE Bond and Grow facilitate streamlined issuance, broadening access for both retail and institutional investors. Lastly, dynamic structures utilizing Monte Carlo simulations enable firms to adjust their debt-equity mix based on market shifts, enhancing financial adaptability. These trends underline the changing landscape of capital finance in today's economy. Capital structure plays a pivotal role in a firm's financial health. When we mix equity and debt correctly, it enhances stability and growth potential. Failing to do so can result in distorted WACC and poor investment choices. We also need to watch out for common pitfalls that can mislead our analysis. Ultimately, our goal is to ensure choices align with the real risks and returns of our projects. Let's now identify potential mistakes, explain their implications, and outline clear corrective measures. Ensuring your capital structure decision is error-free is vital. First, we must diagnose the issues, apply the necessary corrections, and then align inputs with the valuation purpose. Next, we need to match free cash flow to the correct weighted average cost of capital, using after-tax rates and the targeted capital mix. It's also essential to separate operating liabilities from financial liabilities, only modeling interest-bearing debt. Additionally, for the cost of debt, we should use the current marginal borrowing rate, adjusted for taxes, instead of relying on historical rates. Lastly, equity and project-specific WACC should reflect project risk and capital mix, rather than forcing a single firm-wide WACC. One critical challenge in finance is ensuring the accurate application of the weighted average cost of capital, or WACC. WACC should not be seen as merely academic, but as a vital hurdle rate for assessing new projects, like how Infosys employs it to gauge market opportunities. Additionally, it's important to avoid including accounts payable and provisions in capital calculations, as these are operational liabilities. Tata Motors effectively separates payables from capital, ensuring a clear assessment of WACC. Finally, relying on historical loan rates as the cost of debt can lead to inaccuracies. Instead, Firms should price projects based on current market yields. HDFC, for instance, utilizes prevailing bond rates to ensure their funding strategies are sound. Building on our earlier discussion, the cost of equity is often misunderstood as merely the dividend rate. Instead, it reflects the return investors expect, which can be calculated using models like the capital asset pricing model, especially for non-dividend paying firms like BYGOs. It's vital to remember that retained earnings aren't a free resource. They come with an opportunity cost equal to what shareholders could earn elsewhere. For example, retaining 10,000 crore rupees at Reliance means that shareholders miss out on potential earnings. Additionally, the weighted average cost of capital must be tailored to fit project specifics. For instance, Adani Green applies different WACCs for solar and wind projects due to their varying levels of risk. The dynamics of capital structure decisions are pivotal for businesses. An effective method to stress test this is the dynamic WACC via Monte Carlo simulations. These simulations analyze capital costs by evaluating multiple variables in real time. Additionally, AI-driven input calibration enhances data accuracy by refining essential parameters from deeper market insights. A noteworthy influence on WACC comes from ESG instruments like green bonds, which can modify financial terms based on sustainability performance. For example, NTPC's green bonds illustrate how financing renewable projects can integrate sustainability into overall capital costs. Finally, advanced platforms like Bloomberg Terminal streamline these analyses, significantly boosting overall decision-making precision. Understanding WACC is crucial as it represents the blended cost of debt and equity in financing. Various external drivers shape the capital costs and the returns investors expect. Firm-specific policies, such as capital mix and risk posture, also influence WACC significantly. This understanding is essential as it sets the hurdle rates and guides financing choices that focus on creating value. To effectively assess WACC, it's helpful to differentiate between economy-wide factors and those within a company's control. As we explore the external factors influencing the weighted average cost of capital, let's first consider interest rates. Higher policy and bond yields can significantly raise borrowing costs and increase the risk-free rate used in the capital asset pricing model. For example, during tightening phases, we see banks like HDFC Bank facing rising bond yields, which ultimately increases their WACC. Next, the market risk premium plays a crucial role in determining the cost of equity. In moments of heightened risk aversion, such as the turmoil during the COVID-19 pandemic, we experience a surge in expected equity returns, making equity financing more expensive. Finally, let's discuss income tax rates. They affect the after-tax cost of debt significantly. For instance, India's corporate tax cut in 2019 reduced the effective cost of debt, resulting in a lower WACC for companies and encouraging further investments. Understanding firm-specific factors shaping WACC is vital for strategic decision-making. First, project risk significantly influences the required return. Initiatives with higher risk demand larger returns, which increases WACC. For instance, Adani Green Energy reflects this by pricing in extra risk for their emerging market renewable projects. Next, the capital structure mix matters. While debt has tax advantages, it also heightens financial risk. Companies like Reliance dynamically adjust their debt-equity ratio to fund expansions effectively. Lastly, dividend policy affects the cost of equity, where generous payouts reduce retained earnings. Infosys skillfully balances dividends with reinvestment, which helps maintain a lower WACC. As we explore modern trends influencing the weighted average cost of capital, it's fascinating to note that NTPC's green bonds have successfully attracted environmental, social, and governance capital, resulting in tighter spreads compared to conventional debt. The BSE bond platform has streamlined the placement process, leading to reduced borrowing yields for issuers. Additionally, Zerodha's expanded retail reach enhances market liquidity, helping to lower the costs of equity issuance. on a broader scale, moves by the Federal Reserve to adjust rates are reshaping global risk-free benchmarks. Consequently, companies like TCS and Wipro are actively rebalancing their capital mixes to stabilize their WACC amidst shifting economic conditions. Capital structure decisions play a vital role in optimizing financial performance. First, balance the mix of debt and equity. Use debt for stable cash flow projects and equity for more uncertain ventures. Following this, plan for the tax shield by maximizing interest deductibility while keeping coverage ratios healthy. Diversifying project risk by mixing low and high risk projects helps minimize equity risk. Additionally, innovative financing options, such as convertible debentures, can attract broader investor interest. Finally, continuously monitor and rebalance your capital structure as cash flows and risks evolve. To summarize our discussion on Chapter 12, Capital Structure, Equity versus Debt, we explored the key components of capital structure. This included understanding the roles of equity, preference shares, and debentures. We examined theoretical insights, such as the Modigliani-Miller theory, and how practical factors influence these decisions. Additionally, we calculated the costs of capital and discussed the importance of WACC. We recognized modern trends and common mistakes in capital structure choices. Finally, we focused on strategies for sustainable growth to optimize capital structure for long-term value.